godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
29-28, Kanachi. And Junichiro Camijo scores the contest, 29-28, for the winner by split decision, Mana Boy Martinez!
I'm here with Mana Martinez. It's obviously an extremely emotional moment for you, my friend. Take your time, buddy. Congratulations. You got inside this octagon tonight with a lot of weight on your shoulders, a lot of emotion. And that's how the fight went too. Early on, you were eating a lot of shots, but you overcame that adversity. And here you are with your hand raised as a UFC fighter. I'm just going to ask you how you're feeling right now, man.
As I told you in the pre-fight interview, I was going to try my best to keep it in before the fight. And obviously, let it all pour out, and it just did. First and foremost, I want to thank the man upstairs. And, you know, my coach Saul, of course, is dedicated to him and everything he did for me to help me turn my career around. So I'm just very thankful and blessed to have him in my life in the period, the time that I did. And I'm just very thankful.
Leo Mana Martinez from right here in the city of Houston. That was his initial reaction right after the fight. It was his first fight in the UFC. Mick Maynard, the matchmaker, lives here in Houston and recognized he came from Houston. These are his roots. When he came as a matchmaker, he started here, with Legacy. And he made his way into the UFC, and he brought Houston with him. And a talented striker, Mana Martinez, joins us right now. We were very happy to get you on, Mana. I watched the fight. I know I'm not the only one that said this. You know Saul Saliz would have. I know Saul a little bit. I got to know Saul back in the day, and I was friends with him for a while. Saul would have been in your ass during that fight because you weren't letting those hands go early on. You know that he would have jumped on you. I know you know that.
Oh yeah, I'm glad you knew Coach Saul a little bit, and going back and watching the fight a few times that I did. I can definitely hear him in my ear, and you know, his certain coaching style would have definitely gotten to me, and probably motivated me a little bit more to finish him. But yeah, I definitely heard him, and he definitely would have been giving me some different instructions.
Well, for people who don't know, there may be some people who didn't know this and who knew about Saul, and maybe you don't know who Saul is. Saul Saliz is one of the godfathers of MMA. I've been an early adapter to UFC since the mid-90s when I first saw it. And Saul was the first guy I had in studio, along with Mark Kerr, who was Mark Kerr was one of the top fighters in UFC and then into Pride in Japan. And I got to know Saul back in about 2000 and went to dinner with he and Rico Rodriguez and Tito Ortiz way back when Rico was the champion. And Saul was a guy who was at the early stages of MMA and really did a lot to build the sport here in Houston. He had his own fights, and he was a guy who was very influential for a lot of fighters. And so I wanted to – let's get right to that before we get into the fight. When you lose a guy who is the voice in your ear and the guy who gives you direction, was there ever a point where you were so broken down emotionally and then there was, you know, COVID scares in your camp as well? Was there ever a point where you just thought, this first UFC fight just isn't going to happen for me?
For sure. It definitely crossed my mind. To be honest with you, I tried my best emotionally to keep it all together. And with the passing of Coach Saul, obviously it all poured out after my victory and after my win. But prior to it definitely, there was definitely a thought in my mind that, man, is my UFC debut meant for this year, or should I wait till next year? And it definitely crossed my mind, but I knew everything would come together and everything would be meant to be, and that victory was solely and specifically for him. So he would have wanted me to definitely go out there and fight and, you know, not be mourning at his funeral or sad or, yeah. But yeah, it definitely crossed my mind, and I'm very thankful that I was able to pull through with the fight and especially get the victory.
Yeah, give me an idea of. I'm kind of curious what it was like when you heard that the UFC was calling, that this was going to be your first fight. What was that phone call like when you found out that I'm going to be fighting in the UFC, which is the highest level that you can fight in mixed martial arts?
So originally, I was able to earn my contract a few months back in my hometown through Fury Fighting Championships, and Dana White was looking for a fight here in Houston. And I knew my time was coming, so that fight was a quick one. It was about 30 seconds, and when my manager texted me about a week or two later, I was excited. I was stoked. I got the contract, and you know, it's like a dream come true, especially with all the time, effort, hard work that I put in. It was amazing to see it, and you know. I was originally supposed to fight not this past weekend, but the weekend prior, and that fell through. So, again, going back to your other question, I didn't know if it was all going to happen, but it did happen. And when I first found out, I was just super excited, and I couldn't really believe it. But once those octagon doors closed last weekend, it all came true, and I definitely believe it all.
Hey, quick question for you, man of boy, Fred Davis here. And, you know, I've kind of jumped on the MMA bandwagon here as of late. I mean, I'm 40 years old. I grew up being a big boxing fan, and so I've got a new appreciation for the work you guys do. But what I'm most fascinated by, and anybody in a combat sport, is, you know, I'm looking at your record. Like I say, you're 9-2. Congrats again on the UFC win. But, you know, you've fought five fights in the last 5-6 years. How do you, and whether it's you or anybody else in the UFC or MMA as a whole, how do you guys, you know, because of the sporadic nature of these fights, and, you know, ultimately you're trying to get to that, you know, you're trying to get that UFC, you're trying to get that big payday, how do you stay motivated? I mean, how do you stay in it, and what keeps you going when, you know, you may not fight for a year, or you may not, you know, you may be on hold for you know, TBD? How have you persevered through all that and kept going?
The way I persevere through it is just looking to the bigger picture. And I know it's a long time from now, and I'm definitely going to have to work my way up there. But it's holding that gold and seeing it around my waist, which is, of course, the championship belt. That's what drives me, motivates me. And, again, I said I know it's a long time coming, but that's the ultimate goal. And, honestly, if that's not any other fighter's goal, and they don't see them for that, then I don't know if they're meant for this sport or why they're even fighting, to be honest. But
makes sense.
You know, to each his own. I don't want to speak on another person or for another person, but that's my main goal, and I know I'm not getting any younger by the day. So
true.
I'm 25 years old, and I want to get it while I'm still young, and, you know, while my body's still thankfully fresh, and yeah, just chasing the goal, man.
Amen to that. And hey, you're 25, so like I said, don't beat yourself up, bro. You're 25. You're okay. You're doing all right. Trust me.
Yeah, but when you're 25, you feel like life's passing you by. I mean, it's a different perspective.
Let me be 25 again.
I know. Mono Martinez joins us right now. We just wanted to get you on and give you props for number one. I also wanted to give props to Saul Solis, who truly was the godfather of MMA here in Houston. But you're a bantamweight with some heavy, heavy hands, and that's something in lower weight divisions. When you've got knockout power, that's something that draws the attention of not just Mick Maynard, but obviously Dana White as well. So Metro Fight Club, representing the city of Houston, we definitely appreciate you joining us, and we also appreciate the fact that you're a Houston fighter who's coming up, and we'll be following your career from this point forward. So thanks for joining us this morning, Mana.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And, yeah, I truly appreciate you knowing Coach Saul's background and, you know, his history and how much he's done for the sport, not only in Houston but Texas, and how well he was recognized around the world. I remember him telling me stories about how he would go to Japan, you know, with his fighters and you know, how they'd recognize him and things of that sort. So he was definitely known worldwide, not just in the state of Texas or just in the Houston community. And I appreciate you really pinpointing that. And
One of the things I want to mention is he was one of those guys who, you know, you have people who will tell you what you want to hear. They just get along, Freddie. They'll say, you know, they'll just try to act nice and play nice and say that. Saul just didn't have a filter like that. If he thought something, he would tell you. No, he would tell you something. Am I lying, Mana? He was like, a guy that would tell you exactly what he was thinking.
No, that's exactly what I like to hear. And Coach Saul was as real as they come. Never sugarcoated anything.
Never.
And again, like I said, as real as they come. And man, when I needed to be treated like a fighter, he treated me like a fighter. And he was able to flip the switch, because when I needed to be treated like a son, or, you know, someone super close to him, he treated me like a son. So there was just always that true love there, and you know, that straightforwardness from him. But man, as real as they come, and that's hard to find these days. Because like you said, you know, some of these coaches will, oh yeah, you did great, when realistically you had a bad performance. And I know I didn't have the best performance this past weekend, and he would have told me, hey, we're back to the drawing boards on Monday. Hey, you need to fix this, but that wasn't a good job. But yeah, man, as real as they come.
He would have told you, let your effing hands go. Throw combinations. Yes. Get him in there and knock his ass out. He's 41. Yes, you're exactly. 25. He would stop getting kicked with that inside kick. No, Saul would have, yeah. So anyway, well, listen. Definitely shout out to the great Saul Solis, but also shout out to you. And
absolutely.
Thanks for making Houston proud on your first UFC fight. And we're looking forward to many more wins in your future.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you guys for having
me. Hey, let me ask you a quick question. My radio partner, John Granato, my full-time one, he's going to be coming back soon. Would you in December maybe be able to make it out to our Christmas party and put him in some type of, I know you're a striker, but just put him in some kind of chokehold, just like a little chokehold.
A rear naked choke?
Yeah, just a little quick chokehold.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
I think you start a knockout booth with him. I tell you what, just do a knockout booth, and then people can, like, you know, for their charity or whatever, and then you just,
dude,
you know, they walk up and
just
you just knock them out.
Just little chokes on everyone, and they get a tap and just see what it feels like for 2 seconds.
Punch in the
chest.
Will
you come
right
do that
there.
In December if we have a Christmas party?
I'm down. I'm definitely down with that. Or, you know, you see some boxers or that boxer where he brings, like, a body shield, and they do that challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Body shields and maybe like throw a kicker TA on.
Yes.
I don't know. We'll figure something out.
No, as long as somebody's getting punched.
I just want to see Manta Boy beating up people at a Christmas party. I mean,
that's what
I'm there
for. He said
for,
we'll
so.
Figure it out, Freddie. He said we'll figure it out. So we'll see. Hey, Mana, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it and congratulations.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, definitely let me know, though.
All right. Now, don't worry. We're going to take you.
He's
no.
Ready now.
It ain't no joke now. It's really going to happen.
See, you should have started the conversation off with that.
I know. I appreciate it. But just so you know, it's really going to happen.